Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
I believe that people in this service and next service will have things happen to them that will be eternal, will affect them forever. That's what can happen in God's house. According to the Word of God, the gathering of God's people in His house is an event like no other on the face of the earth. Not a political caucus. It's not a business meeting. It's not a motivational seminar. It is a supernatural thing when people gather together in sincerity in the name of the Lord and rehearse what God has done and anticipate what the Lord is about to do. That's what you need to do. Rehearse what God has done in your life, but don't say, well, it's all settled and all done. Then anticipate what the Lord is going to do, because we really do believe that the best is yet to come. Turn with me to the word of the Lord, Genesis 28, verse 16 and 17. If you've been here the last sessions when I've preached, it's a familiar verse to you now. I use this verse. Some pastor called me, and he's pastored the same church for 25 years, and he said, what are you preaching on? And I gave him this verse. He said, I had no idea that was in the Bible. Well, it's right here, Genesis chapter 28, verse 16. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. The house of God, the gate to heaven. You may be seated, part five. One of the verses and phrases that stand out in these two verses is, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. I would say that's kind of par for the course. So many people do not discern whether God's in the house or not. And that ought to be a priority for us. We just have a spirit that discerns the Lord is in this place or the Lord's not in this place. It's our responsibility to discern the house of God, whether it be the gate of heaven or assembly conscious staff. Most people go to church, that's their basis going is conscious staff. They have an old mother somewhere that said, son, you ought to go to church. They've got a wife. They've got a little child that they feel like they ought to be an example. And so they go to church somewhere. It's conscious, just to make my conscience feel better. I told you about my friend, a businessman here in town, that he goes to a certain church, one of the larger churches in San Antonio, and he bases it on two things. The reason why he goes there: his mother expects him to go to church, his wife expects him to go to church, and he has children. But he bases it on two things. They have the shortest service in town, and they require the least. So that's the reason why he chose that church. The basis on which you choose your church is vitally important. In the text, Jacob is running for his life, lived a scandalous life, but he has in his heart a desire to know God. A lot of people are like that. They're not living right, but they do have a desire to know God. He's running for his life, and all of a sudden, God lets his ladder down as Jacob lays there sleeping, and he realizes that he now has not only the blessing of his father, but he has the possibility of having the blessing of his God. You know, it's one thing to have a good job, to be a recipient of the blessings of the great America, the United States of America that we live in, that's a blessing in itself. But it's something quite different to have the blessing of God, because it wouldn't matter if you were living in Red China or one of the third world countries of the world. If you have the blessing of God, you will excel and you will have what Jesus called an abundant life. And so Jacob realizes, I've stole the blessing from my father, from Esau, but I don't yet have the blessing of God. But he wrestles with God in the middle of the night, all through the night. And suddenly he realized that God's blessing is possible. Ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you, no matter what your past is, no matter where you came from, what your lineage is, you come from a long line of Christian people, or if your people were totally foreign to the things of God, the possibility of the blessing of God on your life is possible. It's possible that you would be blessed of God. The Bible said his eyes run to and fro. when God singles you out to be blessed. I have been singled out by the Lord to be blessed. And friend, I can tell you when you have a realization in your life, I have been singled out to be blessed of the Lord. It does not puff you up. It does not make you proud. It does not make you arrogant. You simply say, 7 or 8 billion people on the planet, and God chose me to bless. It humbles you, but it also develops in you an appetite for more of the things of God. And it creates in you a desire to be a person of faith, to know that God is a rewarder and that you can please Him. That's what happens when you realize I can be blessed of the Lord. But God tells us throughout His Bible that much of that has to do with the house of the Lord. God places tremendous significance on the house of the Lord. What do we place on God's house as significance? Is it a big deal in our life? You know, I thought it was appalling back years ago when they took Wednesday night and began to use that as sports nights, and then Major League Baseball and UFL and all the things began to take Sunday, which was the day of worship, and make it the day of sports. But now public schools are doing much of their sports practice at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning because there is not a significance in America about the house of God. That's not the public school's fault. That's the church's fault. We didn't make a big deal about it. We have to let people know, oh, I don't do anything but go to God's house on God's day. It has to be significant. And so this place was called Luz, which simply means nothing, insignificance. But when God met Jacob there, it was changed. And it was changed to Bethel, which means the house of God. It became a significant place. And because of the significance of the place, the significance of the man was elevated. And now Jacob's name is changed from heel grabber, or one that comes from behind, or one that is always behind. That's what the Bible said when He said He'll make you the head and not the tail. He will now take you and put you in a position and exalt you in a place that you weren't born just because of your mother or dad. But God leapfrogs you to a place of prominence where His eyes are upon you and the blessings of God begin to manifest in your life. And so now it's no longer called Luz. It's called Bethel, the house of God. He's no longer called Jacob. He is now called Israel, which means the power of God. Hallelujah. Things have changed in his life. And the Lord has changed your life. The vast majority of people sitting in this place are blessed of the Lord. You're tremendously blessed of the Lord. If you look back at your parents, as loving as they were and as laboriously as they tried, you are now advanced in them in every way, educationally, financially, spiritually. You're advanced from your family. Why is that? Because the Lord has singled you out. And the Bible said He's exalted you above your fellows. That happens when you are in significant relationship with the Lord. But much of that is determined by where you go to the house of God. We need to realize that our attendance in the house of God is the single most important decision we make in our life. It's more important than the education we get. It's more important than where we work, where we go to church. Some people don't think that it's important at all, but it can not only affect your week and may give you a better life right now, it can affect your eternal destination, whether you're going to go to heaven or whether you're going to go to hell. What's going to happen to you? All churches are not the same. All restaurants are not the same. All doctors are not the same. I've made that observation many times. There's people in the ground today that if they had changed doctors, they'd be walking around, but they're buried because they didn't have good doctors. And so churches are not all the same. Some people choose churches like they choose this is a great restaurant. What do you like about it? Man, they have great advertisement. Their sign is just gorgeous. And they have great wait staff. They got the nicest people that are waiters in that place. And they had great silverware, and they have real tablecloth. I just love to go to a restaurant where they have real silver and they have real tablecloth. I took my friend one time to Clear Springs. Anybody ever go to Clear Springs? Eat catfish? I love Clear Springs. But that day, I forgot what they do. I was there last week, but I forgot what they serve now. But I think it's maybe styrofoam. But anyway, my friend said, I don't like this restaurant. And I said, why don't you like this bread? He said, I don't like to eat on styrofoam. Well, the next month he was eating on steel plates because he was in prison in Marion, Illinois. I've always wondered, would you like to be back at Clear Springs? And so, you know, I choose this restaurant. They got great silverware. They have real starched tablecloths. They have a great facility. They have great atmosphere. Oh, but they have terrible food. Friend, I don't care how nice the tablecloth is, if the food's not good. I saw yesterday one of the news anchors, she travels around the world with one of the networks. I saw that she said, oh, this has been the worst day of my life. She said, I ate in a restaurant and I got food poisoning and I vomited all through the airport, even in the security line. They had to give me a bucket so I could vomit. That'd be a terrible predicament. I've never experienced that and I hope I never do. But food poisoning is a terrible thing. But it's not nearly as bad as being poisoned in the house of God. I used to preach that old message, cheated at church. There's no place worse to be cheated than a church. You think you're getting your money's worth, but they're really not telling you what you need to hear. They're telling you what you want to hear. You need to hear the word of Almighty God. So many people cannot discern between a fake church and the gate of heaven. Attending the wrong church can be more harmful than helpful. Just as long as I go to a church, everything is fine. No, it's not. I saw that they arrested a man yesterday because he was practicing dental work in his home. He went and waited in his living room, and then when he went into his bedroom, he had a little chair there, and they arrested that gentleman. I'm sure he wasn't doing the best work there. It's not always bargain basement religion that you want. Sometimes you want the real thing. So I've been talking about indicators that a church is really the gate to heaven because that's what we're discerning. We're not discerning, well, I like it because it's, man, I really like their building, or it's close to me, or they have plenty of parking. That's one of the things. We got plenty of parking here, but even if we didn't, you ought to park over at the park and ride and walk. And so you don't make the decision about where you're going to church on that. These are indicators that I've shared that it's really the church house of God. It's really the gate of heaven. And that's the number one thing you want to know. Is this the gate of heaven? Is the predominant population of this church really Christian and really serving the Lord? Is this a place I can go to heaven from? I saw a new statistic yesterday. 42% of American pastors have now concluded that it's all right to have a same-sex marriage. Doesn't matter what 42% of American pastors say. It's what the Word of God says. And you always have to keep that in your mind. It's not what everybody else says. It's what does the Word of God say. You don't get to play a game and halfway through the game. You know, my brother, he's in heaven, I hope. He had a real struggle in life sometimes, but I believe he's in heaven. I believe the Lord's grace was there for him. But I never beat my brother in any sport. I couldn't beat Johnny. I just couldn't beat Johnny. The reason why, he changed the rules as we went every time. I don't care whether it was checkers or ping pong. His daughter's here today. I don't care whether it was ping pong or checkers or what it was. He changed the rules. He was always going to win. Unfortunately, we don't get to change the rules as we go along. It is established. It is the Word of God. And God wants us to realize that the most important thing is His presence. If you go to a place where God's Spirit is not there, there's a reason why God's Spirit is not there. And it's up to you to have some little antennas. You ought to have a little discernment yourself. You know, what we don't realize is some of this comes down to our own responsibility. You've got to be you say, well, I'm just going to see what happens. No, we're not talking about a gamble here. We're talking about eternal life. You need to take some responsibility and say, is this a real church or is it not a real church? And so we have to decide that. Number one, the presence of the Lord. Do you realize the presence of the Lord is here? The second thing is, does that church embrace the supernatural? There are all kinds of people today and all kinds of Christian faith that say that God no longer does things supernaturally. Friend, if God saves you, that's the greatest supernatural event in the world. Jesus said you must be born again. He said that which is flesh, but that which is spirit. You must be born again. Born from heaven. There is a supernatural event that takes place. I was so thrilled Wednesday night if you were here. We had a great service, but we had two people right here that gave their life to Jesus, and you could see a great distinct change in their life. They were being born again. It's supernatural. And so that's the second thing you need to discern in your church. Is it a supernatural place? This is what I'm talking about now. Is it a place of anointing? Anointing is so important. Anointing is something that happened in the Old Testament. It was when they would take a vial of oil and they would pour it on your head. It would drip down through your beard. It would run all your body. It symbolized the presence of the Holy Spirit. More than anything today, we need God's Holy Spirit. We need God's anointing. And even Jesus Christ talked about that about himself. If it was true for Christ, it's got to be true for you and for me. The Bible said in Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Anointing comes from God's Spirit. It can't come from anywhere else. It doesn't come from talent. It doesn't come from ability. It doesn't come from intellect. It doesn't come from education. It comes because it is God's Spirit that anoints this and said, I am here with my Spirit. I will send the anointing, the oil of my anointing. And what does the anointing do? It breaks the yoke. The yoke is the encumbrance of life. The devil is really good at putting yokes on you, just making you feel heavy. That's the reason why the Bible said put off the spirit of heaviness and put on the garment of praise. The spirit of heaviness can just weigh you down. It's called depression. We call it bipolar. That's it. That's depression at its nth degree, bipolar. That's simply a yoke the devil puts on you mentally until where you feel so trapped and you feel so down. You don't want to take care of your children. You don't want to be a spouse. You don't want to go to church. You don't want to go to work. It is a yoke that is upon you, but it is the Spirit of the living God, the anointing of God, that breaks the yoke. And so Jesus said, the anointing, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. I've pretty much talked about that. The gospel must be preached. It's not a church. It's not a gate to heaven if the gospel is not preached. I'm just amazed. I have a friend, and she has some children, and they're grown children, and they go to one of the great churches. It runs thousands of people. But she said, Steve, I talked to her yesterday on the phone, and she said, I go to the church, and she said, it's just so good. She said, there's such good music, and there's just such an experience of excitement, and they've got my family so involved. But she said, when I listen to the pastor, which she'd known all of her life, she said, I do not hear the gospel of Jesus Christ being preached. Well, the Bible calls it sounding cymbals. The Bible calls it tinkling cymbals. It calls it a noise. It calls it he heaped in himself having itching ears. We have to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is that? That we cannot be saved. You can't be saved because you're a good person. You know, I hear people all the time and they talk about so much about, well, the Lord is going to save you from your sins. And what they're talking about is the actions that you have committed before you come to know the Lord. That's important. But it's more than that. God has sent Jesus Christ to die in our place to save us from our sin, which is our nature. Every human being has a sin nature. I don't care how nice you are and how sweet you are and how pious you are. The Bible said the heart of man is deceitfully wicked. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ can deal with the deceitful heart of mankind. We must preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not just thinking better thoughts. It's not just being positive, but it is the gospel of Christ, that God of glory robed himself in flesh, died in our place. He took our place, ladies and gentlemen. When you see the cross, you need to realize I should be there, but I'm not because Jesus Christ took my place. And if we had died on the cross, that would have been the end of it. We would have just died. But because Jesus Christ was God in the flesh, he died on the cross, but that was not the end. That was the beginning because they buried him in a borrowed tomb because they knew he wasn't going to be needing it very long. And he went to hell, and he fought the devil and won. And 3 days later, he was resurrected. And when he was resurrected, he said, I have got the keys of the greatest enemies of man, and that is death, hell, and the grave. Jesus Christ has those keys, praise God. And so he said, I will send another comforter to you. I'm going to go to the Father, and there I am going to be your counselor, and I am going to work for you in heaven. But on the earth, the Holy Spirit is going to be empowering you. That's where we are today. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the gospel to the poor. Who's poor? Anybody that does not know Jesus is poor. Praise God. The billionaires running for president that don't know Jesus Christ, they are poor. But praise God, if you know Jesus Christ, you are rich beyond comprehension. Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. And you know, when Jesus walked this earth, he did not carry with him a bank account or a checkbook or a credit card, but every need that he had was met. And I submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, if you are a real recipient of the gospel of Christ, you might not have $2 million in your bank account today, but I can tell you this. The Bible said he's numbered the hairs on your head. The Bible said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and I will add these things unto you. The gospel tells me that your needs are going to be met today, and your needs are going to be met tomorrow, because the Lord is your eternal help. Can you give God some praise in this house? But the Bible warns us in Galatians that if there is a gospel, there is a fake gospel. Remember that. For everything there is that is genuine, there is a fake. And there is a fake gospel that is being preached today. And I hear it being preached all the time because the Bible said it's not really another gospel. It is the gospel that is perverted. And so the gospel, make sure the gospel is being preached. I'm preaching to you that are living here in San Antonio, but I'm preaching to you that will move to another city, and you've got to select the church. Don't just select the prettiest church or the biggest church or the church that is most popular. You need to do your homework and say, what kind of a church is this? Is this a gospel-preaching church? Well, friend, I want to tell you that the Lord wants you to preach, to go to a church that preaches the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is that you lift up Jesus Christ and him only. Oh, in the day that King Uzziah died. I love that verse. It's one of my favorite passages in the entire Bible. In the year that King Uzziah died. You know what Uzziah means? It means power. In the day that I lost my power, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Friend, I'm going to tell you, there's going to be a time in your life where you're not going to have your own power. You might be 27 years of age today and got a degree hanging on the wall, and you got a job making $200,000 a year, and you and your wife got beautiful cars, and you live in a beautiful home, and you got two perfect kids, and everything's just good. But I'm going to tell you, sooner or later in your life, there's going to be a day where you realize, I need some help. I need some help. He said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. What are you talking about? I'm talking about the anointing of the Lord. And the anointing of the Lord demands that we preach Jesus Christ, him crucified and resurrected and ascended and coming again, praise God. Because this is a Jesus church. You see what I believe. You see, I'm just as crazy as I can be because we're sitting here and everybody's relatively quiet, just a couple of people standing up acting like they're something special. Everybody ought to be doing that. But you know what I believe? I believe that Jesus Christ is literally in this building right now. And I believe the primary purpose that I have come is to lift him up. I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. He said, if I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So my message is not you're a good person getting better on your own. My message is that you're nothing without Christ. But with Christ, you are everything. He is the empowerment. He is the hope. He is the help. He is the Savior. He is the baptizer. He is the glory. He is the waymaker. He is life eternal. Oh, that's the Jesus Christ I preach. I don't preach there's a dozen ways. There's one way, and that way is Jesus Christ. There is none like him. He is the Alpha, the beginning of everything good is Jesus. He is the Omega, the period at the end of the bad sentence, praise God. He is the bread of heaven. He is the very joy of the Lord. He is the power of God. He is my redemption without his blood. His shed blood, there is no remission of sin. But praise God, he's paid the entire price. So when I come here, I want to do one thing because I'm convinced if I can lift up Jesus high enough, his train will fill this church, and this church will not be just a house of God. It will be a gate of heaven. If you're a drug addict, suddenly you will be cleansed. If you've got a problem with lying, suddenly you can tell the truth. If you're a whoremonger, suddenly you're going to love one person and have one relationship. God is going to change your life. Because with Jesus Christ, all things are possible. He can make the worst person the best. He can make the dying person alive. He can make the sinful person righteous. Oh, let me lift up Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, nothing is impossible with him. He's altogether lovely. He is able to make the crooked way straight. He's able to make dead things live. He's able to make sad things joyful. He's able to take your sin away from you and fling it as far from you as the east is from the west. Jesus is his name. Jesus is his name. You say, I don't get it. Oh, but I do. I got it. I got it. I got it. You say, I don't see him. I believe Jesus is in this house right now. I believe he's walking up and down these aisles. I believe before we leave here in about 10 minutes, I believe he lays a hand on every shoulder, and he's saying what he always said. When Jesus moved among the multitudes when he was on this earth, he had one question, will thou be made whole? And that's what Jesus is asking you today. Will you be made whole? That means if you're sick, he wants to heal you. If you're depressed, he wants to give you a sound mind. If you're sad, he wants to give you the oil of gladness. If you're dying, he makes you want to live. If you're sinful, he wants to make you, will thou be made whole? I believe Jesus is in this house right now. He's just waiting for somebody to say yes, 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 yes. I'm going to be healed today. The doctor can't fix me. The lawyer can't fix me. The theologian can't fix me. But I believe Jesus is in the house. It's called anointing. It's called anointing. Maybe I'm just crazy. But when I come into a real house of God, I feel his anointing. I get goosebumps on my body. I get perspiration in my palm. I get excitement in my mind. My heart begins to beat a little faster. Why? I am in the presence of the living God. I feel the anointing of the Lord. I believe I can do anything. I feel no matter how weak I was when I came, I feel like a lion in the tribe of Judah. I roar like a lion. God's in this house. And right now, God is here. The anointing is here. You say, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. No, I don't, but I know what Jesus has done. And what Jesus has done is better than what you have done. And so he's in the house right now, and he's saying to anybody, you're troubled by your past. You are fearful because of what's going on in your life. You're painful because of decisions you made. I say there's an anointing in the house. This is the house of God and the gate to heaven. Why don't you get out of your pew, shake yourself, come to yourself like the prodigal and say, praise God, I'm going to go to God's house. I'm going to the Father's house. Why don't you get out of your pew and throw your hands up and begin to praise Jesus Christ and glorify him and magnify him and say, he is worthy. He is worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. Hallelujah. The Bible said when we get to heaven, the main theme of what we're saying is, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. Hey, folks, I'm something not because of me, but in spite of me. But, oh, let me tell you about the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. He can take me from the pig pen and take me to the Father's house in a split second. If you're sick, I challenge you to walk out of your chair right now and say, preacher, you're through preaching because I come to get healed. If you're lost, I challenge you to get out of your pew and say, I'm going to get saved right now. I had a friend preaching in Port Arthur, Texas. And the meanest man in Port Arthur, Texas was there. And he came often with his great wife. And he said, the preacher was preaching. And he said, I'm not preaching to the meanest man in Port Arthur. I know you're here. He said, I'm preaching to everybody but you. I exclude you. Don't even think about coming to this altar. That was the wrong thing to say to the meanest man in Port Arthur. He said, preacher, you're not big enough to keep me from this altar. He said, I might not be, but I'll tell you one thing I can do, buddy. He said, I can keep God from saving you because you're too mean to be saved. And he said, I can keep God from filling you with the Holy Ghost. You're too mean to receive the Holy Ghost. The meanest man in Port Arthur. And all of a sudden, that man threw up his hands and said, God, forgive me of my sins. The meanest man in Port Arthur. The tears began to flow. The Holy Spirit came upon him. And he began to speak in that holy language. And after a while, he came up and he looked at that pastor that told him he couldn't get saved. And he said, I did it, Pastor. And that pastor said, gotcha, didn't I, buddy? He was simply bluffing. because the meanest man in San Antonio is a candidate to become the saint of the living God. The worst person in San Antonio is a candidate to become the righteous of Almighty God. No weapon, nothing you can do can prevent you from receiving God's mercy, because the anointing of God is in this house. This is not just a church building. This is not a theological place. This is the house of God and the gate to heaven. And whatever you need today, the Lord is able. Hey, I found that my God not only takes my sins away, He puts food on my table. I found not only does He forgive me for my mistakes and my sins, but praise God, He clothes me in righteousness. Not only does He take care of my spiritual needs, but He gives me cars to drive and food to eat. Oh, what a mighty God I serve. It's the anointing. He said, the anointing of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord to preach the gospel to the poor. We are here to tell you that Jesus Christ loves everybody. He didn't die for the just. He died for the sinner. He died for every last one of us. Anybody in this building lost? Would you come to Jesus Christ right now? Just give your heart to the Lord.